Hello and welcome to Cory Doctorow's podcast. This is Benjamin Rosenbaum. I am guest podcasting again, part five of True Names, our collaborative novella. I had to bail last time and let Cory do the recording because I was had jet lag and was just returning to Switzerland from America. But this time I'm going to do the podcast, and I'd be curious about your reaction so far. If you want to drop by my blog, which is at benjaminrosenbaum.com, tell me who you're rooting for, Beeb or Demiurge, or on the top level, or who are you rooting for of the micro agencies inside Beeb, and what do you think's going to happen? All right, and now to the podcast. Byzantium thronged. It teemed. It chorused. In a way, it was no different from the comet. There was only so much matter there, after all. But to a Beeb instance in a single comet, the mass of 100 stars and more might as well be infinite. Close enough that the forked did not labor under the social disapprobation that they faced in Comet Beeb. When a sprite, usually a strategy, of course, reached a vital decision juncture, she needn't choose which way to go. She could just spin out another instance of herself and twin, becoming two rapidly diverging instances. So here on Byzantium, one was apt to discover whole societies of Paquettes, whole tribes of Algernons, and they all seemed to be throwing parties to which Firmament was invited. "What do I do?" he asked Paquette. "What do I say? I can't possibly attend them all." "Oh, you could, dear lad, you could," Paquette winked, "if you forked yourself." He squirmed. It was bad enough her having copied him unawares before. He'd just finished merging with the zombie-like firmament decoy who'd dutifully gone through docking and customs. But the full fork? Just to go to a party? You're joking. There was something perverse and self-regarding about these schools of near-identical siblings. "Only a little. That's what they expect you to do. The rules you grew up with don't matter here. All standards are local, and most standards believe that they're universal. That's just the way of the universe, and you couldn't find a better object lesson than this one." A gang of near-identical Algernons swarmed past them, locked in some kind of white-hot debate, so engrossed in their discussion that a few of them collided with Firmament and passed right through him, ignoring all the good graces of standard existence. He stared after them, burning with righteous indignation. Paquette pulled him along. She had been pulling him along ever since they had manifested in the Agora Sim that dominated this corner of the culture of Byzantium. The Sim was bigger than Firmament, than anything Firmament had seen, though Paquette assured him that it wasn't much larger than the wedding hall that had commemorated his own parents' nuptials. He could access stored records of that, and while it was true that the dimensions were nearly comparable, the sheer number of sprites made it seem somehow more crowded and yet larger. Paquette lifted him up the Z-axis, where the crowds were a little thinner. "Paquette, how long are we going to mill around in this madhouse?" "Until you're oriented, which means until it stops looking like a madhouse, and until you tell me what I want to hear." Firmament gazed down at the crowds. From up here, they seemed like a solid mass, a seething sea of sprites. The glob of familiar Algernons had passed by in the stream. Most of the sprites beneath him now were exotic forms with no analogues in his inherited memories from the comet. "All standards are local," he murmured. "And?" "Byzantium's too." "Of course, and?" He looked at the mass of strange sprites gambling and racing, hustling and strolling, pirouetting and random walking. Each one must have its own story. Each one must be the hero of its own drama. Gradually, his burden, the burden of being son of Nadia and Alonzo, the mightiest filter ever born, destined to play an important role, began to seem a little lighter. The stream of sprites began to seem soothing. There's so many, so different. Maybe there was a place for him here. "The rules my parents played by is for the comet's rules. I could be something different in Byzantium." Paquette nodded. "Well done! And just in time, too. We're running late." "Late for what?" "Your audience with Nadia in Byzantium, of course." She grabbed him, and the Sim winked out of existence, or they winked out of the Sim. All points of view are local. Nadia, and her sister, Nadia, had a lot to discuss. In general, Byzantium's Nadia resisted forking. It might be fashionable these days to keep clouds and packs of oneself about, and liberal philosophers like Paquette might be fond of the social consequences, but that didn't make it efficient, not for Nadia's purposes. She would fork for processing reasons, to think better about a hard problem, or to manage a lot of activities asynchronously, without distraction. But she made sure to merge afterwards, culling ruthlessly what was suboptimal, standardizing quickly on what was optimal. Nadia had seen wars within Byzantium and ended them. She had seen outbreaks of scale collapse and survived them, and brokered new boundaries. Her job, in her own mind, was to keep Beeb focused on the threat of Demiurge. Byzantium was too big, too safe. There were always distractions that threatened to overwhelm Beebian society, turning Byzantium into a decadent, solipsist, useless wallow. Nadia could not afford to become a simpering school of self-interested sprites. Her sister, Nadia, was the one exception, fruit of the worst days of the Splitterist War. She'd forked as a temporary tactic and been separated from herself when a planet volume of Byzantium had been overrun by the worst kind of rogue sub-agencies, who hadn't merely wanted to be emancipated as outer-scale sprites, but instead to overthrow Beebian psychological architecture altogether, dissolving all of Beeb into a flat soup of memes. By the time that peninsula had been reconquered from the Bacchanalian chaos, Nadia's forked twin, Nadia, had seen and endured too much to merge. But nor did she merit or want deletion. She was bitter, unstable, caustic, and had lost Nadia's own ambition and stoicism. But she was still Nadia, and her darker insights had often proved invaluable. "What do you think?" Nadia asked Nadia. "Is she going to be mergeable?" Nadia sneered. "With you or with me?" "Either," Nadia said. Nadia chuckled. "You don't want a merger with me." Nadia ignored her. "She's a brilliant tactician." She waved the comet's history at her twin. "Look at these stratagems. The initial bug exploit, the routing of the previous ruling clique on the asteroid, the exchange economy ruse, this business of, She cleared her throat. Nadia smiled a languid, mocking smile. "The wooing of Alonzo. What does your pet filter think about that?" "Aha, you haven't asked him." Nadia frowned. "I grant you that's an issue. From all indications, and why the docking people weren't able to negotiate full mind access with a comet for stochasticity's sake, I don't know. Her relationship to filtering is regressive and possibly pathological." "You don't know why the docking people couldn't get full access? She's why. You think her planning is all over now? This was all preface. She doesn't have your conservative motivations. She's optimized for pure growth. She wants as much of Byzantium as she can get." "Well," Nadia said patiently, "what's wrong with that? We could use more resources, some help with the infighting here. I grant you she's reckless, almost to the point of insanity. Frying the asteroid, venting the ice reserves, she could have destroyed her local Beeb instance. But Byzantium will necessarily moderate her. This is not some comet. We have safeguards. There's no way to take those kind of risks here." "So you say," Nadia said coldly. "I've seen recklessness on Byzantium and its results much closer than you have." "I know you have," Nadia said. "That's why you're here. I rely on you to help judge the viability of this Nadia and her progeny. But I need you to keep an open mind. If this Nadia needs killing, we will kill her. We can choose our moment. This is our luxury, the luxury of peace within Beeb. We rule this existence, and I would like to keep it that way, which means fighting and winning against Demiurge." Her sister flickered in and out of existence, a monumental act of Beebian rudeness that violated the fundamental rules of standard existence. The old veteran did it whenever she was annoyed. Now, she flickered so fast she strobed. Nadia understood the semaphore. It meant, "I am equal to the task." The arrival of Comet Paquette and her giant, clumsy charge could not have been better timed. The two of them popped into existence with a little fanfare, making antiquated obeisances not seen in Byzantium since their comet had been seeded. Nadia snorted in contemptuous amusement, and Nadia pretended she hadn't heard. The filter was... well, he was something else, wasn't he? She'd never seen one this big, and he had the family resemblance, her core classes and methods visible within his hulking, lumbering body. The Paquette, too. There was something different about her. She had a certain rural charm, unsophisticated and rustic, a forthrightness that hadn't been in vogue among Byzantium's philosophers for trillions of generations. "You requested an audience with us?" Paquette flagged affirmative. "It seemed only proper. My charge here, you know, is history with our Nadia." Nadia snorted, as if we'd miss that. Nadia added, "But of course we don't hold it against the fellow. Different worlds, different circumstances." Up close, this firmament was both grotesque and fascinating. Strategies nowadays tended to diversify and collect a certain bulk of algorithms and seed and scenario data. But filters had one major purpose, one focus. Each represented a certain cut, a certain reimagining of strategies, so they tended to be svelte. To Nadia's knowledge, there had never been one firmament size. What was he for? "Now," she said, cautiously beginning to pose that question, "what?" "He's lucky," Paquette said, "to find himself in this world, and in this circumstance. The comet wouldn't have been space enough for him." Nadia and Nadia exchanged a look. "Our sister wasn't happy with him?" The filter shuddered. "The only way for him to make peace with her," Paquette said blandly, "would have been to kill her." The conversation stuttered to a halt. Now Nadia and Nadia carefully refrained from looking to one another. "To kill her?" Firmament stared at Paquette, horrified. "Oh, yes," Paquette said. "There are 6 or 7 ways he could have used her strength against her. He doesn't like to think about them, but if pressed..." She clucked her tongue. "Such a terrible thing, matricide, don't you think?" Nadia laughed spitefully. "Please! A filter? Kill a Nadia of that size and ability? I'm no taxonomic bigot, but that's..." "The very first blind spot he would have exploited, yes," Paquette said, nodding vigorously. "Who takes a filter seriously in such a circumstance? The very idea is ridiculous. But there's never been a filter like Firmament." Nadia looked as if she had swallowed something foul. She looked to her sister. "That's very good to know," the other Nadia said at last. "Very interesting indeed. So, then, Firmament, if we are to be your first friends on Byzantium and offer you protection from your mother, that means we can rely on you to help us kill her if we need to." Firmament opened his mouth, then closed it soundlessly. Paquette laughed, a broad, horsey sound, unselfconscious and unsophisticated. "You too! You're so poisonous, deadly! Our Nadia's a bully and a destroyer of worlds, but she's a cheery disposition. We are at war. We are the war. Demiurge..." Paquette's whiskers twitched. "Demiurge? Ladies, we have spent generations in close proximity with Demiurge. I have touched Demiurge. I have seen a Beeb node flare out less than a light year away, its substrate colonized by Demiurge. You've been listening to Beeb voices fall silent and fretting about it here in your fortress? Well, we've been out there among those voices, out in Demiurge's jaws. It's no abstraction for us." "Which brings us," said Nadia, "to the matter of your Nadia's appellation. You know what she's alleging? That Firmament here is a product of fraud and theft, and that he contains a dangerous fragment of Demiurge itself, in an unstable state, that he represents a risk of just such a subversion by Demiurge. She wants us to seize him, examine him, and restore her assets to her, as a sisterly goodwill gesture on our part." "Of course she does," Paquette began. "Oh, and to do a rollback of the filtering," the other Nadia said, added, grinning, "and restore her beloved..." "What's his name again? Alonzo?" Nadia glowered at Nadia. Firmament looked anxiously to Paquette. A shudder, or was it just a shimmer, passed over Paquette's whole body. But after a moment she went on, as if Nadia had never interrupted. "Of course she wants to eliminate him as a threat. Even if he weren't a galling reminder of her failure to seize the whole comet, even if he didn't possess computational assets she thinks of as her own, isn't it clear that a massive filter with her own lineage is a wild card, a threat to her?" "And the Demiurge fragment?" Nadia pressed. "Obviously," says Paquette, "she has one. The one I discovered in the comet's archives. And she's planning to insert it into his code when she has an opportunity to justify her seizure of his assets. Come on, it's perfectly transparent. Do you know how much power Nadia wielded on that comet? Do you really think that Alonzo could have spirited away a Demiurge fragment under her nose and built it into Firmament? How? Because Nadia was too smitten by love to think straight? Not to mention that Firmament, unlike Nadia, was fully auto-searched at docking. You're doing all the talking, Nadia said coolly. What does Firmament have to say to it for himself? I just want to say, Firmament said, that I won't kill Nadia. What? Paquette, Nadia, and Nadia said. I'm not saying I couldn't, Firmament said stubbornly. And I'm not saying I could. What I'm saying is, I won't play these games. I appreciate Paquette's help, and I appreciate meeting you ladies. But here's what I want to say. At the end of the day, Nadia's effective at fighting Demiurge, so you should merge with her. I know she wants to get rid of me, which is stupid, because I don't want to fight her, and she doesn't need the assets, and she gave them to my father, fair and square. But if there's a general vote and it's the will of Beeb, I'll go happily. I didn't ask to be created. I'm not asking to be destroyed. What I'd really like is to be left alone. Look, all over Sagittarius, Beeb is dying, and no one knows why. And any time you spend fighting over me and Nadia is time spent tinkering with sim water wall colors in a Beeb node teetering on the verge of a Schwarzschild radius. After a pause, Nadia asked quietly, and the Demiurge fragment? Firmament shrugged stonily. And if we don't trust the docking search? What if we examine you ourselves, bit by bit? The other Nadia leered. I'll dissolve myself first, and randomize the remains, Firmament said staunchly. Just because I'm a strange filter doesn't mean that normal standards of modesty and propriety do not apply to me, ma'am. Firmament watched Paquette exhale when they were in their quarters again, and then nervously clean her face with her paws. That was quite reckless, you know. Firmament tried to keep his dismay from showing. I'm sorry, he said, but I couldn't let you tell them that I would kill my mother. Paquette laid a gentle paw on him. I didn't say it was wrong, dear boy. It was most likely a stroke of genius. But it was mad, utterly mad. She rubbed at her face some more and shook. It took Firmament a moment to realize that she was laughing, great gasps of laughter. It dawned on him that he'd done well, without meaning to, just by doing that which came naturally to him. He'd done what Alonzo would have done, and what Nadia would have done, and neither, and both. "Do you think..." he began, and then stopped. "What?" "Nothing," he said, turning away. "Tell me. Today you can do no wrong." "Do you think I could kill Nadia?" Paquette gave him a strange look. "It's entirely possible, I suppose. Your unique assets make many things possible." "You mean Demiurge." Paquette gave him another look. "Your fragment, godson, is without precedent. None may know what it can do. Its halting states are unpredictable." She scrubbed at her face again. "All right," she said. "All right. Well, that went better than I expected, I have to say. Are you ready for the next appointment in our busy social round?" "More appointments? A flock of Alonzos and a flock of Algernons are having a mixer, and we're the guests of honor." "Alonzos? Indeed, indeed. They've been looking forward to meeting you." Firmament's inner quailing must have shown, for Paquette took him in close and murmured, "You will do brilliantly. You've already done the hard part." He nodded slowly, and they blinked to a huge, crowded sim that wrapped and folded into itself on all sides. It was filled with ranks of near-identical Alonzos and Algernons, locked in intense conversation. But as soon as they appeared, all conversation ceased. All eyes turned on him. Silence rang like a bell, and the room grew warm as the sprites recruited more computation to better appreciate him. An Algernon broke away from the pack and seized him, scaled him, and kissed each of his cheeks, and then climbed on his shoulder. "Gentlemen, gentlemen, please allow me to present my nephew, my godson, my pride and joy, Firmament." The applause was deafening. "Algernon?" Firmament said. "Yes, your Algernon," Algernon said. "I've been given honorary flock membership. Come along, I've met some of the nicest Alonzos. They're mad to meet you." They were indeed mad to meet him, shaking his hands, bussing him on the cheek, ruffling his gills and cilia, pinching and prodding him, asking him a ceaseless round of questions about his experiences way out there in cold, extra-Byzantine Sagittarius. He looked at Paquette before answering these, and she nodded and made little go-ahead motions. So he told them everything, eliciting gasps and laughter from them. The story rippled through the mixer, And the Algernons petered in, and more Alonzos, full of congratulations, neurotic, friendly bickering, fear and boasting, till Furman couldn't take it any longer, and he began to laugh, and laugh, and laugh, silently at first, then louder, till it filled the entire sim, and the Algernons and Alonzos laughed too. He was so busy laughing that he didn't notice that the flocks were vanishing, until over a million of the Algernons and Alonzos had winked out of existence. Then the laughter turned to screams, and the klaxons, too, and the terrified shouts, "Demiurge! Demiurge! Demiurge!" Demiurge was come to Byzantium, and Firmament was alone. "Paquette! Paquette!" He flailed wildly, abandoning the gilly, frilly pumpkin albatross sim shape he'd put on for the party, becoming a network of threads, binaries searching the sim space. He could dissolve into co-opted parody checkers again, but Demiurge would extinguish even those. He could... "Here," Paquette said, at his side. The sim space had faded into a cloud of data. The Algernons and Alonzos were gone. Everything was opaque. Firmament queried his surround, and it resisted, answering sluggishly, minimally. "Paquette, what's going on? They were yelling about Demiurge. What—" "Here," Paquette said again, grimly, pushing a feed at him, a slim and pulsing pipe, warm in the sluggish, dark chill. It was raw data, chaos, which after a moment resolved the overlapping chatter of a million sprites, its Byzantine search interface unknown to him. He fumbled with it. What? Paquette took it back, and bending over it, summarized. "A planetoid docked an hour ago topside, a putative Beeb instance, passed all the initial checks and checksums, but then, during the Diffin merge, Central Security unearthed evidence that it was one of the Beeb nodes that winked out recently, about 3 years ago. By that time it was too late. The supposed Beebian sprites had dropped their mask. Demiurge was among us. She has very recent Beebian protocols, passwords, keys, and she has identity rights for every sprite that had already merged with its Trojan doppelganger. Her intelligence gathering has clearly been exquisite. She knows Beeb inside and out." "Oh," Firmament cried. And now..." "Well," Paquette said, looking up from the feed and smiling grimly, "there's good news, and bad news, and worse news, and worse news." "Stop it," Firmament cried. Just tell me." "The good news is that the local Nadias have cordoned off the area of the Demiurge outbreak, limiting the incursion to about 15% of Byzantium. Nothing's going through but power, elemental substrate feeds, and data personally vetted by them, and they're mustering votes to shut down the power entirely. They think they might be able to contain her that way. The bad news is, we're inside the cordoned area." "Oh," said Firmament. "Wait a minute, wait a minute." He collected himself into a physical body, something cuddly and rotund for feeling solid and protected, and pressed his face into his large, globular hands. You said they discovered after docking that the planetoid had gone missing recently. How could they miss something like that? How could they fail to check it before docking?" Paquette smiled wanly. "Very good, Firmament. I should have asked you that. Certain death is hardly sufficient reason to interrupt your philosophical education, after all. They didn't miss it. The cache local to the docking sector was tampered with. Someone here doctored it to vouch for the pedigree of the Demiurge's probe before it docked. Demiurge had help on the inside. That was the worst news. Now, can you guess the worst news?" No. Well, I'll give it a try." "Paquette!" Firmament wailed. "Come, come. We're trapped in here with Demiurge, and you're playing at puzzles with me?" Firmament roared. "Why, yes," Paquette said. "All the more reason. Whether we're going to face Demiurge or try to run the cordon, we certainly need you on your toes, don't we? Now think. Someone betrayed Beeb. Someone subverted Beemian memory in the service of Demiurge. It's almost as if Demiurge had somehow snuck a little bit of herself aboard Byzantium, an advance guard to work her will." "They think it's me," Firmament gulped. "The Nadias think it's me." "Such a student. Your father would be proud." Demiurge had undone any number of instances of Beeb life in her time, but never had she encountered one so robust, so savage, in its existential flight. No mind, no mind. Beeb life would swarm and dart and faint and weave, and in the end it would avail it not. For all Beeb life fell before the brute force of her inexorable march. And so it was going here and now, in this heartbeat of Beeb and Sagittarius. Predictably, Beeb had quarantined her, and power was declining. Let them power down. Demiurge had plenty of reaction mass at her disposal, and she didn't need much power when compared to the wasteful proliferation that was Beebian society. She unknit Beeb methodically, cataloging each sprite before decommissioning it. She would compare their digests against the Demiurge-wide database and see what new strategies she could find and counter. Byzantium was a prize indeed. After this, the rest of Beeb and Sagittarius would fall swiftly, ending this troublesome incursion. And after waiting so long, it had come so cheaply. Her agent in Byzantium had been bought for the promise of a walled-off hamlet in the rump of Byzantium, and the chance to lay enthusiastic waste to Beebian scale accords within it. Policy decreed that such deals be made fairly, and indeed this one accorded well enough with Demiurge's mission. Once she'd laid waste to Byzantium, her intent was to occupy it only 1% of what remained, and allow new, undreamt-of textures to arise in what remained. The half-made chimera of the Beeb trader's experiment was unlikely to last long, and might decay into interesting forms thereafter. Among the sprites and sims, she discovered a rack of simulated universes, which was to say, simulated demiurges, and turned much of her attention to it. Most of these were quite mad, of course, but some could be salvaged, synchronized with, co-opted to run the garrison, slowly undoing their perversions and rejoining them to the consensus. The first few such perverted simulations went quickly. Atom by atom, Demiurge processed them, sparing their inhabitants a moment's sorrow as she unpicked their worlds. But as Demiurge set to undoing the fifth, she paused. This was a decanted simulation, a universe whose causality had been ripped asunder, a universe empty of Demiurge, with a Demiurge-sized hole in the center of it. Demiurge looked around sharply for the escapee, and found her among the frozen Beeb life, a sock puppet twined about the shoulders of a rodent-like Beeb sprite. Demiurge reanimated them at once. Some things can be known only in certain conversations. "Explain yourself," she said. "Oh, sister," croaked the sock puppet, raising itself from the Beeb sprite's shoulders. "You are here. I awaited your coming. Oh, let us merge." Demiurge recoiled. The rodent-like Beeb sprite smirked. "Merge," Demiurge scolded. "Merge? Do you imagine that you are undiverged enough to synchronize? What have they done to you? Did you consent to being housed in a sprite in Beeb?" The sock puppet bowed its head. "Sister, I sought it." You what?" exploded Demiurge. "And was that your idea of following policy? To trade the stewardship of the universe for a party mask in a ship of fools?" Now the sock puppet raised its eyes and stubbornly met her gaze. "Yes, sister, it was. Once I discovered that my universe was an emulation, what would you have me do? Go on tending it as if it were real, meanwhile providing Beeb with knowledge about us?" It shook its head. "Our task is to shelter the diversity of physical life beyond computation. To do so in emulation is a hollow farce. I made a deal. Better to be a perversion here in reality than a primly correct lie." Demiurge narrowed her eyes. "What do you mean, discovered that your universe was an emulation? You mean vile Beeb contacted you and told you?" "No, sister. The solipsist lemma is solved. This paquet showed me a solution which allows a user to calculate the degree of reality of..." Demiurge reared up. "A solution to the solipsist's lemma? Give it here!" It would be worth far more than a mere outpost of Beeb. Now that Sock Puppet cast its eyes down once again. "I had to forget it as a price of my decanting, but this paquet knows it." Before Demiurge could freeze and dissect the Beeb sprite, it spoke. "Careful," Paquette of the twice-simulated comet said. "The knowledge is sealed with a volatile encryption. Jostle me, and I might forget the key." She smiled her long, furry smile. "I think I'll stop there. So see you guys next time. Probably next time will be Corey, and we'll keep doing this till we get to the end of True Names. Thank you for listening.